Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to the Metro Board meeting. I want to take this opportunity, too, to welcome a number of our workers who are here with us today, members of 689 and others, a number of guests in the back, and we appreciate your coming out to our board meeting today. Thank you for being in attendance. We have a fairly long agenda today, so we'll try and move through it as quickly as possible. The first, of course, is the approval of the agenda, so I'd like to move the agenda at this time. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor of the agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. So we have an agenda. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. And the minutes are for May 25th, 2017 board meeting, June 8th, 2017 special board meeting, May 25th, 2017 executive session, June 1st, 2017 executive session, June 8th, 2017 executive session, and June 15th, 2017 executive session. So I'd like to approve the removal of all of the approval of all those minutes. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Our next item is public comments. So I have a number of people who would like to make public comments today, and we welcome that and thank you for coming out. I do want to alert everyone in advance. Everyone has 2 minutes. The 2 minutes is on the thing up there at the end of a certain period of time. A yellow light goes on. Then at the end of your 2 minutes, a red light will go on and a beep will start and a beep will continue until you stop. So I'd like to ask everyone to please stay within the 2 minutes. There's a reason for that. We have a long meeting, but more importantly, it's only fair to the people who come after you to stay within your time so they don't have to wait for you to go on past the time you have. And the 2 minutes is something that was adopted years ago by the board. It's not my making. It's something that was adopted years ago by the board, and it's a regulation that we have to stay within. So I appreciate that, and again, I want to thank everyone for coming out today and participating and watching the Metro Board meeting. So our first speaker today is Carol Thomas. So we'll Mr. Thomas, come up to the microphone. Welcome to the Metro Board meeting. Thank you for being here today. Yep, right there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Carol Thomas. I'm the first vice president of ATU Local 689. I've also been a bus operator for about 18 years. Last month, our financial secretary, Treasurer, stood before you and discussed serious safety concerns that Local 689 has with operator passenger assaults. Instead of paying attention to our serious and life-threatening concerns, Chairman Evans spent more time shouting him down. Today, I won't take nearly as long. That was only a minute of silence. That silence is what happens to operators when they try to contact Bus Operations Control Center after an incident occurs. In that minute, people can die, operators can get assaulted, and crimes can occur. Can you imagine how much worse it could be after 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or several hours? When will you get serious about protection of our riders and workers? Can you imagine if that was your spouse, your child, or your parent? From out of the board, you have blood on your hands.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next witness is Zuri, and I don't want to mispronounce this, but Teshurira? Teshurira. Zuri Teshurira. Welcome to the Metro Board meeting.
Good morning. My name is Zuri Teixeira. I'm a rail car maintenance lead man. In October, ATU Local 689 members came in front of you and spoke to you about management's lack of respect for safety at WMATA. They told you then that a true safety culture could not be achieved until safety rules are more than just talk and are not just something that is used to threaten and scare workers. Today, we will tell you once again that a true safety culture will never be possible at WMATA because you and Mr. Wiederfeld are not committed to implementing one. On June 8th, you voted 14-1 to support Mr. Wiederfeld's long-term plan for WMATA. Not once in that plan does Mr. Wiederfeld discuss how he intends to implement a healthy safety culture. When you talk about safety and then force your track employees to work in thunder and lightning because the work has to get done, you are not committed to a true safety culture. Several weeks ago, the FDA threatened to withhold 25% of their federal funding because WMATA has not addressed systemic issues to protect the workers. That is not a commitment to a safety culture. If Wiederfeld had any intention of making Metro safe, then he would work to empower employees and give us a voice through a creation of joint labor management committees. Instead, he would rather allow a culture of intimidation and retaliation where worker protections go out the window. By endorsing this long-term plan, you have condoned a culture that he has allowed. The next death is on your hands.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next witness is Derek Mallard. Welcome to the Metro Board, Mr. Mallard.
Good morning. My name is Darren Jackson. I'm speaking on behalf of Derek Mallard, who wasn't able to attend. I'm also a bus operator, shop steward for Bladensburg Division. The statement I'm here to read is, when you endorse Paul Wiederfeld's long-term plan for Metro, you endorse a plan to outsource operations and facilities of Metro to private contractors and agree to force your own employees to have to bid for work that you already paid them for. Not only is this a financially irresponsible plan, it is disrespectful to your workforce and is a blatant attempt to destroy employee morale. You don't have to look very far to see how privatization of public transit is a plan for failure. Just look at the D.C. streetcar, which has been riddled with cost overruns, broken commitments, blown deadlines, and management decisions that have terrorized the workers. Mr. Dormsjoe, you know very well that privatization is a plan for failure because last year an audit exposed major safety issues of D.C. Circulator. More than 90% of the bus fleet was unsafe to be on the road and was put on the road by the private contractor, First Transit Anyway. On top of that, DDOT was exposed for not disclosing poor maintenance records, the department you direct, putting riders and workers under the direction of outside companies that will make transit more expensive, unsafe, and unreliable is the wrong direction for Metro. And it is mind-boggling how this body could openly endorse a plan to make Metro worse while claiming to care about fiscal responsibility, safety, and reliability. When this backwards plan for Metro fails, and it will, the blood will be on your hands.
Okay, thank you very much. Next speaker is Jim Saya Campbell. Welcome to the Metro Board. Good morning.
My name is Jane Sia Campbell. I'm a bus operator for the Western Division. Endorsing Paul Wiederfeld's plan by this board was an endorsement making Metro smaller while everything in the region is growing larger. As you look all around D.C. and the surrounding jurisdictions, apartments, homes, and offices are being built faster than people can move in them. Yet, you support a plan that only wants to bring less to the table. We have communities and businesses thriving in places that used to look like farms and prairies because of WMATA. Taking Metro backward by shortening hours, cutting service, and raising fares, as as you are about to do next week, is nothing more than endorsement of a plan to destroy Metro and make it inconvenient to those who need it most. By supporting Whitfield's plans, you are literally locking out the poor and the working class people who need Metro to have access to school, work, and training. Endorsing this plan puts the death of people's ability to move upward economically on your hands. You have become directly responsible for the death of upward mobility in DC Metro, and you have the blood on your hands.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next speaker is Anthony Garland. Oh, no, did I skip one? Yolanda Glee, I'm sorry. I skipped Yolanda Gee. I apologize. And then Anthony Garland.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and WMATA Board. My name is Yolanda Gee, and I'm the storeroom clerk for WMATA. I also hold the position of the election committee, which is ATU 689, and with the MAPS team of 689. In January, at the only public hearing you had before passing Mr. Whitfield's budget, riders and workers turned out by the dozens to beg you not to eliminate routes and raise fares. You chose to ignore their pleas, and in 3 days, fares will go up, leaving many passengers stranded or forced into longer commutes. On June the 8th, your lack of transparency showed again as you called a special board meeting to vote on a resolution supporting Mr. Whitfield's keeping Metro safe, reliable, and affordable, and gave the public no opportunity for input. Not only that, you have yet to conduct a case study on Whitfield's plan to determine how his plan will affect the operation of WMATA in the long run. Your intentions were to push through a plan to privatize and make money off of our public transit system. Your actions show you have no regard for the working public, whom will be affected by these changes. ATU Local 689 does. We've seen these plans in cities around the country. We see money-hungry business owners making backroom deals with politicians that sell the hard-working public down the river. That's why we develop our own long-term proposals. They're simple. Create a flat fare. Make bus to rail transfer fee free and open the system up again so this region can grow from its economic contributions. If you continue down this road, the blood of the public transit system will be on your hands. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And now Anthony Garland. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Anthony Garland, International Rep of the Amalgamated Transit Union. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, board members, and Mr. Whitfield. For years, we have watched mismanagement of funds and the struggle to maintain a respectful safety culture to protect the workers of WMATA, the riders, and the community it serves. Numerous scathing reports from federal agencies such as the FTA, NTSB, have acknowledged the obvious. It's not working. In the past, WMATA and this board, Mr. Catania, Mr. Kaufman in particular, cost WMATA's non-reps pension plan roughly $200 million for their dereliction of duties as fiduciaries when they failed to select their insurance annuity advised by the New England Pension Consulting Group. At the time, the pension plan was funded 140%. For years, WMATA chose to pay the LTD benefit plan out of the pension plan, which cost millions of dollars to the pension plan. The authority also took a pension holiday for 8 years with the 689 pension plan, as the plan was funded 125%, taking the profits but failing to put the money back into the contributions of the pension plan. This was done for each year. As a common practice, this board has consistently rubber-stamped WMATA's failed policies. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Whitfield, and the rubber-stamped board, today is the 8th anniversary of the Fort Tarn tragedy, and nothing has changed. Stop blaming the dedicated, hardworking employees for your failed commitment. as the employees are the only functioning spoke in this wheel. Back off the benefit package of the workforce and do your job. Perhaps you should redirect your attention to those who benefit the most from transit in this region, the developers and builders, Nationals Park, Verizon Center. Make them pay. After all, they benefit the most. If you're still looking for funding for the WMATA transit system, just look ahead, look above in the statement. There's roughly $600 million mismanaged by this agency and the WMATA board. You too have the blood of the riders and 689 members on your hands.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next speaker, Siggy Milos. I have that right. Okay, welcome to the board.
Hi, my name is Siggy Milos. I'm the Executive Director of Americans for Transit. I'm a DC resident, Ward 4 voter, and I'm also a daily Metro train and bus rider who's upset about the fare hikes and service cuts. But today, I'm here for Audrey Cook. Audrey gave me a call yesterday. She's a daily rider of the W-19 Indian Head bus that's being eliminated. She lives in Charles County and works in the district. She called me last night and told me her story. She's been a W-19 rider for 6 years. She called me and told me how she couldn't make it to the meeting today because it's at 11 o'clock on a Thursday. She called me and told me she doesn't know how she's going to get to work on Monday because you've cut her only option for getting to work. She asked me to come here today to tell her story for her and hope that someone would hear her. Cutting crucial bus service and raising fares simultaneously is wrong for the region. WMATA, your decisions are greedy. Your decisions make it clear that you do not care about the poor, low-income, and working-class people who depend on your service, or the frontline workers who are catching the heat every day for your bad decisions. Transit is a necessity to access jobs, school, healthcare, the grocery store, and wherever else we feel like and we need to go. You raised fares and cut service to save $21 million of your over $3 billion budget. That's not smart business, that's greed. You are stranding people like Audrey, who will not have a way to go to work on Monday. You are stranding our neighbors' jobs are at risk, and the operators who fix and maintain the system who drive me to work every day are not the problem. You are out of touch with how the decisions made in this room affect riders' lives. We need a flat fare, free transfers, and expanded service, not cutting service and raising fares. This is one of the most expensive transit systems in the country. We already can't afford to ride this system. We need to follow New York, Boston, Chicago, and have flat fare and free transfers so we can get access to opportunities and bring more riders into the system. We need more service and not less. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next speaker is Nicole LeBlanc. Welcome to the Metro Board meeting.
Thanks. My name is Nicole Blank. I'm on the autism spectrum. I'm also a disability rights advocate. I live in Silver Spring, an area which I moved to from Vermont, where there is little to no public transit, in August 2016. I'm here today to talk about my concerns regarding fare hikes and bus cuts that WMATA has proposed in order to close a $200 million budget deficit by eliminating or reducing service. It will force people who rely so heavily on public transit to find alternative ways to get around. Public transit is a vital lifeline in the lives of people with disabilities and the working class adults. Cutting service and hiking fares will not solve the problem. I understand WMATA is facing budget issues. However, balancing the budget on the backs of riders and workers is not the answer. We need a budget that reflects the need of riders and workers. A budget is a document of values. A better solution would be to raise revenue from businesses that are profiting off of Metro and can afford to pay a little extra to preserve our transit system. We must develop a budget that is based on the needs of the people and raise revenue in a progressive manner. By restoring our commitment and investment to public transit, we will create a more inclusive world for all in a healthy environment. Please, no fare hikes or service cuts. Lastly, I strongly would encourage to move toward flat fares similar to other cities, and we must make mass transit affordable and accessible for all. Doesn't make sense to cut fares to the point, to raise fares to the point, and cut service to the point where driving is cheaper and a more reliable way to get around. Stop hitting the middle class where it hurts. And in the area of safety, make sure escalators are not slippery in the winter. I have a housemate who, this past winter, she slid down the escalator and smashed her ankle. So please, safety is a priority. If We work together, we can solve this problem in a way that everybody wins and nobody loses. Save our lifeline.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next speaker is Jay Wilson. Welcome to the Metro Board meeting.
Good morning. My name is Jay Wilson. I'm a resident of the district, and I travel to Maryland each day on the J5 bus. The J5 bus isn't just a bus line. It's a vital way of transportation. Literally 2 years ago, I got rid of my car because of the J5 bus. It affects not only me, but almost 300 daily riders. I delivered to the board secretary this morning a petition signed over by over 200 riders of the J5 bus. Also, Mr. General Manager Wheatfeld was delivered a letter yesterday by 15 Maryland elected officials asking them to please keep the J5 bus. A couple of quick comments of people who signed the petition. Eliminating the J5 would cause my commute to double from 1 to 2 hours, plus it would increase my transportation costs. This bus helps me to get to work every morning. I currently do not have another way to work. Julia Gordon from Silver Spring says, because of my daughter's way of transportation, the school is this bus, and it will be hard to find a way to get her to and from school without this bus. The J5 takes me straight to my job every day in a short amount of time. If it wasn't for it, I would have to take 2 or 3 buses, and it would take me more than 2 hours to arrive. Mr. Wheatfield, one thing that I would like to point out, the analysis to cut the J5 was limited. One thing it did not take into account is that it only runs during rush hours, so 6 hours a day versus the 12 hours most buses run. The benchmark is 432 average weekday riders. That should have been prorated for the J5, which would make it 216 riders for the time period. The J5 currently has over 284 riders each day. So I ask you to just please take another look at it. This is a vital bus service. And on behalf of the J5 riders, thank you. I hope you look into this matter.
All right. Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Mike Goulash. Oh, Goulash, excuse me. Do my best to read this. Welcome to the board.
Thank you. There's been a lot of discussion of changing the basic relationship between the union and management, mainly because of concerns over pension costs. And I'd like to just simply express the fact that for the last 40 years, the union and management have not arbitrated pension issues. We've sat down and worked out how to solve them. In 1983, we agreed to take a 6.5% wage freeze for that year so as to fund the pension plan. It was mutually agreeable because we held down the wage base, therefore Social Security taxes were less, workers' compensation tax were less, and also the basis on which pensions were calculated was less, saved the authority money. In the middle 1980s, we agreed to move from funding the pension through corporate bonds and government bonds to equities. We increased the returns. We lowered the overall cost of the pension system. In the 1990s, when the pension actuary told us we should change the method, Metro objected because they were getting a free ride at that point. We made the point, look, these exceptional returns are not going to continue forever. In 2004, we finally convinced management to change the pension plan, but we did it by agreeing to a smaller wage increase than we should have gotten that year, so that Metro would fund the plan adequately. So, and on issues like vesting, we have a 10-year vesting rather than 5-year, which means a lot of people come and work for the authority for 7-8 years, leave and get no benefits whatsoever from the pension system. This reduced costs. So this whole idea that the pensions have become excessively costly is a total myth. Basically, they provide a good benefit, they stabilize the workforce, and they reward us for the 25, 30, 35, 40 years that many of us spend here building this system, increasing value in this region. And the bottom line is, we do not subtract value from this area. We're not a drain on this area. We are the creators of value. And we think the people that are benefiting the most from that, the Ted Lerners, the Doug Jamal, the Ted Leonis, they should pay their fair share to maintain this system for its workforce and for its riders. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next speaker, Mike Bell. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is about my fifth time here. I'm still here trying to get my workman's conversation paid. So far, all I have received is word of mouth. So I asked for my files to show how much money that I've been paid, which I haven't received any. The last time I was here, General Manager, you told this guy, Christian Kett, to give me my files. Well, he gave me some files, but they were not my workman's compensation files. That's about the fourth time you've been giving me files, but not my workman's compensation files. All I have is word of mouth on how much money I get or how much money I don't get. I was hurt on the job. I had a couple surgeries. The only thing I got was I lost my job. They just stopped paying. I've been through this over and over. I've been out front picketing for 3 years now. The law says that you must give me a copy of my workman's conversation file. That's the law. Then I will know how much money I'm supposed to get, and I can collect my money. All I have is word of mouth. All these people back here behind me, that 18th of this month would have gave me 44 years here. So I know what you're going through. I got hurt over there at Brentwood on the tracks. All I ask you is to give me my money and my files and stop. Stop what you're doing with the workers. Because without the workers, you do not have any type of transit system. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. And our next speaker is Michael Sindrum.
We have Mara.
I'm sorry, he's on my list. Michael, welcome to the Metro Board.
Heard you say sorry.
No, I didn't say that. You're not on the list. I'm always pleased to see you.
No, we're not on joke time here. There's some serious things. Morning, Michael Sindrum, disabled veteran, served our country more than most. I'd like to sit down here. Alert, 2 minutes? Come on, Mr. Evans. At least the council minimally has 3 minutes for you to speak, right? You evidently, obviously, in the board, you don't want to hear from us, right? And our organization gets 5 minutes. Let's do it. I had to make enough noise. You can only have 2 minutes every 3 months. Stop it. Enough. And I said repeatedly, you need to memorialize when we come forward here, public comment. It's nice when you all kick the ball and you want to make yourself look good, but we the people are the lifeblood of Ramada. Don't ever forget that. And you need to memorialize when we come forward what we said. Who said what, right? I know you're shaking your head. You're sorry, but let's do the right thing. Article in Express on, what is this here, June 20th. Maryland lawmakers have a plan to remake Metro. I don't know if you caught that. I'm going to pass it up, and I'd like you all to look at it. I want to focus our attention on a very timely, insightful article in the Examiner, June the 19th, the world's worst metro. And I want to encapsulate and quote some, and I hope I can do it uninterrupted. It says here, how it got so bad. This might be because Connelly, talking about the representative from Virginia, Jerry Connelly, blamed for Metro's failures to the union. Unfortunately, some of the labor leaders like J.P. Jeter and the ATU continue to defend the indefensible, which erodes public confidence in the system. The lawmaker told the Washington Examiner, between August 2016 and January 2017, One-third of the staff, 21 employees of Metro's track inspection department, were fired for falsifying safety records. Another 14 were disciplined. The union defended the workers, saying they were only guilty of shoddy paperwork and that inspectors were given too much work to do. But Connolly supports the firings. Union claims that you can't hold them accountable for filing a false inspection report is to me something that doesn't pass the giggle test for the public. There has to be accountability, and the union ought to be partnered in that, not an enabler for serious misconduct that puts the public trust at risk. Metro workers have a reputation for customer service, not just safety. Often the interaction...
Michael, you've gone way over your time, so just take 10 seconds and wrap it up.
It's very timely, and it gives a balanced picture, and that's why I wanted to be able to encapsulate it, not the entirety of the article, but I want it, and it talks about staff and administrators that were part of this. It talks about a culture of mediocrity, like over the council of corruption. Concluding, it's nice we took off the perfume from the nasty odors at the station, all right? You don't need to throw good money after that. That doesn't make sense. Now you want to put music in there to make it like a shopping arena. What gives here? I mean, just get good service, pay the workers, they're too fair, right? And you're going to have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Michael. All right, our next speaker is Denise Rush.
And I want to pass this up, Mr. Chair, for the record. So I got a copy for a general manager.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and I'll take
it. You're just handed there. Is Ms. Rush here someplace?
Yes, she is.
Oh, okay.
Good that you have the book on the
okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Denise Rush, and I am the vice chair of the AAC committee and the vice chair of the Metro Access. Today I'm really just speaking, representing myself and the public. I just realized that when we start these meetings with the board, I know that Jack Evans is chairing the meeting. I don't know who the members are who are at the meeting today because I can't see and they're not being announced. So I don't know who I'm really talking to other than Jack Evans. I want to thank the committee members who have come to the AAC meeting and expressed their concerns and listened to our concerns. That has never happened, and I've been coming to the meetings about 16 years, so I really, really appreciate that. We have suggested that the members of the board participate in riding on Metro and Metro Access. I personally have experience riding with the general inspector. He rode on the Metro Access bus with me, and I appreciate that, and I hope that more participate in that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Rush, for your comments. And our final speaker is Bernice Bryant. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Sorry, my lights off. Here was that. I just wanted to meet before everyone here to just say my behalf about being a Metro rider. The cost of the disabled replacement car for people that lose their cars is too high. I think it's $25, if I'm not mistaken, and when a person is quote-unquote disabled, I feel like they shouldn't be obligated to pay a fare that's high like that, where as though a person that is not disabled or normal or whatever, they have to pay a lower fare to replace their Metro Smart Trip card, and I don't think it's fair. So I just wanted to meet before you all and just say my two cents. So
All right, thank you very much. Okay, that ends our public comment, so we'll go on to our next item. But before we do, because I don't know, I want to make sure everybody's still here. I just want to thank you all for coming out, and I just have a personal story for many of you who work for Metro. My children ride the bus every day to work and home. My son lost his wallet on the bus the other day. The bus driver found it and turned it in. He got his wallet back. And I don't know who the bus driver was, but I take this opportunity to thank you. I mean, it's a good story about Metro and Metro employees. And I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you. Our next item on the agenda is a report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee. And that would be, oh my goodness, I can't read it. Elver Ariza Silver, welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning, everyone. Dear Chair Evans and members of the board, this is Elver Ariza Silva. I am the second vice chair of the Accessibility Advisory Committee here at Metro. It is my pleasure to present you with the Accessibility Advisory Committee report for the month of May 2017. You might have this on previously, but I just want to summarize as the best as I can about these reports. The primary issues that we reviewed were, number one, the Metro Fair Future Access Designs. Number two, Pentagon City Pedestrian Tunnel. And number three, Metro Access Service Delivery Proposal. Number one, the Metro Rail Future Access Design, Gallery Place, Chinatown. The AAC discussed a common concern of the disability community, which is how to navigate crowds and where to stand on the platform at the Gallery Place Metro Rail Station. There are so many considerations, but two of them are to improve the floor signage for where the six-car trains stop, and or use an audio beacon system to alert customers as to whether the arriving train is a 6 or 8 car train. In evaluating whether to use the audio beacons to alert customers of the number of rail cars in an arriving train, the AAC advises Metro to consider the decibel level required so customers can hear the beacons over the crowds and trains. Alternatively, the AAC recommends that Metro require train operators to announce the number of arriving rail cars entering the station. It is very important to address the continued research on this issue and involving people with disabilities in the process to ensure the proposed solutions will work for all customers. Number two, the Pentagon City Pedestrian Tunnel. The AAC discussed access to the Pentagon City Pedestrian Tunnel after the issue was raised at the recent Metro Board meeting. The pedestrian tunnel is adjacent to the Pentagon City Station and lacks access for Metro customers who use mobility devices. For the safety of all customers, the AAC recommends that Metro add signage and information on the website to advise customers that the tunnel is not accessible for mobility devices and therefore should not to be used as an exit or an emergency. Number three, Metro Access Service Delivery Proposal. Metro held a service delivery pre-proposal conference for the solicitation of additional Metro Access Service providers. Although the scope of work is relatively the same as previous solicitations, the AAC is concerned that a change in service providers could increase the cost of the service to Metro, which would pass the increased cost to the customers in the form of higher fares. The AAC will continue to monitor the process. It is anticipated that a decision will be made in August 2017 and the new companies will begin operating service in October 2017. And lastly, the AAC is developing its work plan for the coming year and plans to explore the following ideas: Metro Access travel passes, commuter rail travel training, and street mezzanine elevators, default possible positions, I'm sorry. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions? All right. Thank you very much.
I'm going to say something briefly to the issue, because I think it's very important to recognize Mr. Silva and the AAC for coming up with what I think is a terrific suggestion about signage for the Pentagon City Tunnel, which, for those who are listening, has yet to actually open. And just so people understand, this is not a newly developed piece of infrastructure, but a tunnel that has been in existence for decades but languished, and there is an effort to newly open it as a way to access the Pentagon City Metro Station, one of the busiest in our system. And while it is very unfortunate that it doesn't have access for people with mobility devices, that is because it was constructed at a time when our communities didn't have the sensibilities that we do now. And even though this tunnel does not provide a route, by improving circulation to and from the station, hopefully that can prove to provide better access for all riders. And I think Mr. Silva and the AAC suggestions on signage are definitely worth implementing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next item on the agenda is a report by the Riders Advisory Council, Ms. Cortoon. Welcome to the Metro Board meeting.
Good morning, Al.
Good morning.
Starting by thanking General Manager Paul Wiedefeld for coming to our Riders Advisory Council last month. We certainly appreciate the dedication that you are showing to interacting with the riders and the members of the public who do attend our meeting. That's much appreciated. However, I will say you were completely outshone by the speaker who followed you. Clifton Hawkins manages station manager training. And we had a lot of questions for him, and I do want to make it very clear in a public setting that he has to be one of your best employees. His enthusiasm and professionalism were undeniable, and if he could be cloned, that would be a wonderful thing for Metro. So having him training the station managers is an excellent move. We did find out a little more about the station manager training program that is underway. Apparently there are both initial trainings that are done for the station managers along with refresher trainings that happen every so often. The Riders Advisory Council is interested in the possibility of either sitting in on some of those trainings or finding out what the curriculum is that is provided to those station managers. Certainly, there's a wide variety of employees you have in your system at any given time. Not everyone is a Clifton Hawkins, and we're interested in providing the rider perspective on any of these trainings. There was some lack of clarity at the meeting as to whether or not we would be able to find out what the station managers are being taught. But if we could get some clarity on that and find out if there's any involvement or any information we could have about that, we would much appreciate it. Also, I don't know if you've received them yet, but you have some scintillating reading coming your way. The RAC has updated its bylaws, and that does need to be approved by y'all. So just as a brief bit of information about what you're getting with those bylaws, should you not have the time to sit down and read them all, I'm sure you're absolutely looking forward to it. But three main changes that we made. One is to adjust the attendance policy. Previously, the bylaws stated that a member could be removed if they had missed two-thirds of meetings within 12 months. We thought that was an awfully long time to have a board position sitting effectively empty with somebody who did not have the time or dedication to submit to the RAC at that point. So we changed that to a six-month period so that we could learn a little quicker that somebody was, that there could potentially be somebody else to fill that position. A second change we made was to change the date of the elections from January, which is the current date, which is also the date that all the new RAC members join the RAC, to April. As it is right now, all the RAC members show up, meet and greet, we all introduce each other's names, and then we immediately hold elections to find out who should be running the RAC, and when nobody knows each other, nobody knows what the positions are, we decided that was perhaps not the most effective way to be running things. So we moved the elections to April so that people have a chance to actually get to know each other. So that means the next elections, should you approve the bylaws, will be in April of 2018 instead of January of 2018. So among other things, I apologize, you and the RAC members are probably stuck with me as chair for an extra 3 months. And the final change that we made to the bylaws was relatively minor. We streamlined a number of typos and other such things that we had found. For example, the title of the document had somehow managed to remain Bylaws of the RAC Bylaws for however many years it had been in place. So we made a few adjustments to hopefully catch all of those. So keep an eye out for those bylaws, and we hope that you will approve them. Whatever changes may be coming down the pike for the RAC, we would certainly like to be involved in those. But in the meantime, changes in the bylaws to improve our operations more quickly.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions, comments? See any? Okay, thank you very much for your report. All right. Our next item on the agenda is now the report of the chair. And so we have a very special presentation today. And on behalf of the WMATA board, I'd like to welcome Chuck Bean, the executive director of the Washington, the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments, better known as COG. Last year, COG identified restoring Metro as its number one priority. This commitment to Metro included reviewing long-term funding needs and options. Chuck is joining us today to present an overview on COG's Metro work, including a report on actions taken last week by the COG board. And I also want to recognize Stuart Freiberg, who's a longtime employee at COG, who's done a terrific job as well in representing COG and working with us here at Metro. So just as a little background, I served on COG many years ago, chairman of COG. They're a great organization, the United Nations of the region, and we're very, very pleased that you've dedicated yourself to helping us here at Metro. So, Chuck, the floor is yours. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Evans and WMATA board members. I'm Chuck Bean, Executive Director, and I'll be briefing you today on how COG works with WMATA and also how we are seeking to congeal regional consensus on restoring Metro back to good and beyond to a world-class system. Just as a bit of background, COG is 60 years old. We're a voluntary association of the region's local governments. Member governments appoint members to the board of directors. Councilmember Dorsey is the representative for Arlington as an example. Our footprint is about 3,000 square miles. About 5.5 million people live in this footprint, and there's about 3.2 million jobs. We're also the host of the region's MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, called the National Capital Region Transportation Planning Board. And to that board, localities appoint their representatives. Supervisor Hudgens, for example, is their appointee from Fairfax County. 4 points of connection with COG and WMATA. The work of the fire chiefs and the chief administrative officers on first responder and public emergency underground communication system, communications in the Metro system, as well as the placement of fire department liaison on the Metro rail communications. Stands to reason that as Metro does not have a fire department, wherever there is an incident, it needs to coordinate with that fire department, and thus the protocols, procedures need to be aligned and understood wherever the incident is. Not directly related to Metro because the Metro Safety Commission will be an independent entity, but at the invitation of the three states, COG was invited to assist to facilitate the interstate compact legislation for the Metro Safety Commission.
Thank you.
Third, under our umbrella is the Commuter Connections Program, and working with the region's public information officers, we've spread the word and had briefings before each surge of the Safe Track initiative. A recent development is working to advance transit-oriented development in the region, and COG's planning directors had a conversation with WMATA real estate and planning staff to learn more about plans for transit-oriented development near Metro stations, and this is likely to lead to a regional event this fall that will focus on TOD broadly and specifically on opportunities around Metro stations. So you see, between the Fire Chiefs Committee at COG, the planning directors at COG, the Police Chiefs Committee, which rotates the chairmanship this year happens to be Chief Pavlik from WMATA. There's about 1,500 people that come through COG's doors every month, and we're looking to avail the relevant technical committees in support of WMATA. It's two committees within COG that I'm going to focus more of my time today, and that's the CAO's committee, that's the Chief Administrative Officers, and the COG board, and its Metro Strategy Group. First, the CAOs. To support the COG board, the chief administrative officers, which are the city and county managers of the region, appointed a technical panel in mid-2016. The charge to this panel was quantifying the funding needs for the next 10 years for WMATA, options for supporting needed revenues, a look at performance benchmarks and the economic value of Metro. In addition to the CAOs, a member of the panel included the DC Chief Financial Officer, several members of your senior staff team, including your CFO. Today I'll review just a few highlights of that technical analysis before the concluding part. The heart of the panel's analysis was based on a financial model first developed by the DC Chief Financial Officer in consultation with the WMATA CFO. financial model had several assumptions which were reviewed and validated by the jurisdiction's city and county managers, and this panel endorsed this analysis in its final report to the COG board. There were several key assumptions in this model that are listed on this slide. Of particular note would be that federal PREA and formula funding will continue at current levels, that jurisdictional subsidies will increase not more than 3% annually, personnel costs will increase not more than 3% annually, ridership will turn around and grow at 3% annually starting in 2020, and if this happens at a faster or higher rate, then there would be more revenue for capital investment. The final assumption is that a state of good repair will be achieved and Metro will begin to address other critical capital needs. In this slide, it's the yellow slices of the two pies that are the most concerning. In the upper left pie chart for operating and maintenance shows a $130 million a year maintenance gap, representing 6% gap in funding over the next 10 years in operations and maintenance. Our analysis indicates that the general manager's plan may very well close much of this gap. It's the upper right pie chart for capital that shows the blue chunk, so 30% of capital funding would be from the federal government. The gray chunk, the 30% from state and local funding, that leaves a gap of 40%, or just under $6.2 billion over the next 10 years. I would note that these numbers are consistent with WMATA staff analysis. The panel then looked at a series of options for providing $650 million annually, $130 million for maintenance, and $520 million for capital annually starting in July 2018. The panel further assumed that this revenue would increase by 3% per year. Importantly, this funding would be dedicated to WMATA, and it was assumed that capital funding would be leveraged to support the state of good repair capital needs, plus additional capital funding for critical capital needs. The Metro Strategy Group that I'll get to in a moment and the COG board are now considering the analysis of the panel and will determine the action over the next several months. COG board chairman Kenyon McDuffie appointed a Metro Strategy Group to coordinate COG strategy focused on Metro's funding needs. It is now this group that is the primary forum for considering the technical panel's report. This group is led by Fairfax County Board Chair Sharon Bulova, and the strategy group recently developed a statement of principles on Metro, which was adopted by the COG board last week that I will share with you shortly. Members of the group included the leadership of the COG board, the Transportation Planning Board, as well as the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority. The strategy group has and will continue to engage elected officials across the region in local and state government, including VDRPT, MDOT, NVTC, and Secretary LaHood's effort. It is expected to provide recommendations to the COG board this fall in time for 2018 legislative sessions. Last week, the COG board was joined by General Manager Wiedefeld, who provided a comprehensive update on the progress being made to restore Metro and to look forward on Metro's plans. Mr. Wiedefeld's report and plan for keeping Metro safe, reliable, and affordable was well received and led by the COG board to adopt a resolution supporting, quote, the direction and spirit of the plan as a constructive framework for improving Metro, and the board looks forward to ongoing collaboration and coordination with WMATA to help achieve the region's vision for a fully restored world-class Metro system efficiently managed in a state of good repair. Last week, the COG board took a companion action. This was a statement of principles on Metro, an 8-point statement of principles on Metro. The guidelines focus primarily on dedicated funding, but also cover additional elements that I'll highlight now. Number one provides overarching goals for a fully restored world-class Metro. Principles 2, 3, and 4 cover capital and operating funding needs. Number 2 focuses on the capital. Number 3 focuses on the dedicated nature of that capital funding that's needed. Principle 4 recognizes that operating and maintenance funding is essential, that actions including those being implemented by the board and general manager coupled with increased ridership are critical actions for managing costs, and there may be a need for additional funding to fill the operations and maintenance gap. Principle 5 focuses on predictability for local and state capital and operating maintenance subsidies. The 3% cap on growth and subsidies, we believe, is fully consistent with the general manager's plan. Number 6 sets a regional goal for accomplishing the funding by July 1, 2018. That's the start of your FY19 budget. It's ambitious, but reflecting the critical importance of Metro to the region. Number 7 addresses cost perspective on enhancement and reform of WMATA's government governance and operations, optimally through actions that can be accomplished without reopening the WMATA compact. And Principle 8 calls on the federal government to recognize its fiscal responsibility to America's transit system and emphasizes the importance of Metro to the federal workforce. The Metro Strategy Group will continue advising the COG board with these 8 principles. I think this is a beginning. This is not necessarily the final word. We'll engage more intensively with our not just our local elected officials, but also with state officials and with the effort led by Secretary LaHood, with the business community and with other stakeholders. It's important that legislative action on funding in the upcoming sessions, in order to, it happens in January in the Maryland and Virginia General Assemblies. Of course, the district is a year-round calendar. In order to achieve the July 1, 2018 implementation goal for dedicated funding. Mr. Chairman, there's a lot there, but happy to answer any questions or background or rationale for these principles. Thank you.
Okay, Jeff, thank you very much for your presentation and for all of your hard work that you and everyone over at COG is doing, and we certainly appreciate it. So let me go ask my board members if anybody has any comments or questions that they'd like to ask at this time. Anybody have anything? Chuck, give us an idea of your calendar. What are you looking at accomplishing between now and January, and how can we from the Metro Board be helpful to you?
Well, I think that we have these 8 principles as a starting point. I'd expect that the Metro Strategy Group will be coming back to the COG board in September. This will follow consultation and other outreach with other bodies, Northern Virginia Transportation Commission, LaHood's effort, MDOT, VDOT, and DDOT, so that if you have comments on any of these statements or principles, we'll need to refine those, but we'll also need to dig deeper, need to look at what is the financial target, and to make sure that there's a strategy both for the Virginia General Assembly, the House and the Senate, as well as the Maryland House and Senate, that is teed up in this fall, ready to be filed by the respective legislators, and the executives from the 3 jurisdictions are on board, so that something can be passed in January, February, and then the localities can take action in the spring of 2018 in order to achieve this goal. I know that it's important that this plan get completed, not just for Metro, but also for the jurisdictions, so that they have their predictability, so that this important piece of infrastructure can be fully supported.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a suggestion?
Kathy?
I very much appreciate the work that the COG board has done and the Transportation Planning Board also on this issue. And COG is unusual in that it's the only entity other than this board that includes all the players around the region, and I think very valuable for that reason. Can we have some kind of a formal mechanism to continue this conversation between our board and the COG board as this goes through? So I think that's going to be a really important thing for us to do to continue to coordinate. I don't have a specific suggestion, but perhaps the chair could think about a way that we can formally continue to have that conversation.
Okay, thank you. Anything else?
Just a comment.
Christian and then Kathy. Kathy and then Christian.
Just a comment because the Transportation Planning Board approved a similar resolution in the census of the boards, and so I think that really. And because the Transportation Planning Board has started to put Metro as part of our agenda item, I think that is one place that we can find that.
Okay. Thank you, Christian.
And I just want to underscore the appreciation to COG for really, I think, addressing a critical issue, one of the most critical ones that I think faces us, and that's funding, and really figuring out the key issue that in order to move forward on that conversation, there needed to be universal regional buy-in as to what the needs were. And you constructed a process that got at that in a way that I don't think had ever really been done before. And I think we ought to thank you very publicly for that.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Chuck, thank you very much, and we'll look forward to working with you as we go forward.
Thank you. I appreciate your time today.
Okay, thank you for coming. And Stuart, you too. Thank you. Let's see. What do we have here? Okay. Next, we have several appointments and reappointments to the Accessibility Advisory Committee, or the AAC. The terms of 6 members are set to expire on June 30th, and 4 members have resigned, leaving vacancies to be filled for D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Therefore, I move the following people be reappointed to the AAC. Philip Posner and Marissa Laus of Virginia. Philippa Mizell of the District of Columbia. And Paul Semelford and Randall Pope of Maryland. And the following people be appointed to the AAC to fill vacancies: Anthony Oberg and Herbert Traeger of Virginia, Franklin Torres of the District of Columbia, and Hazel Brooks and Tino Calabria of Maryland. So I'd like to move all of these individuals at this time. Do I have a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you, and the motion passes. So thank you. That concludes my remarks, and now I will turn the floor over to our general manager, Mr. Wiedefeld. Oh, I'm sorry. Who, Tom?
I need to go. I just want to make one comment, if I may.
Sure, go ahead.
Because I have a lunch meeting.
Short comment.
The union presentation that we heard about the pension fund, I want the record to show that we have written 2 letters to the trustees to come before my pension subcommittee, and we have fallen on deaf ears. So when we hear testimony about the pension issues, I would love them to actually come before our committee to explain that. So I wanted to make the record clear. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, good morning. I'll be brief, given the time, but I do just want to highlight some things on our 3 priorities: safety, service, reliability, and fiscal management. In terms of safety, next week, basically, we'll be retiring both the 1,000s and 4,000s. That's a huge milestone. We've been particularly working on 1,000s for years, as you know. It's the result primarily of the 7,000 series. We have actually almost 45%, a little bit more than 45% of the total order in place now, so that is fantastic. That's 43 new trains and 344 cars, and the 7,000s are about 6 times more reliable than the 4,000s, so that'll be good news for our customers. In terms of service, as we all know, but it's worth repeating, this Sunday is a big day for us. Not only do we stop SafeTrack, but we move into the preventive maintenance, and we move into the new scheduling and fare issues as well. So there are a lot of moving parts here, so we're working very hard to get this as smooth as possible, but I'm sure that there will be some issues that we'll work through next week as we set this up. But thank you for your support along the way for that. In terms of financially, some good news there. We did just last week, we got Standard & Poor's reaffirmed their AA- rating for WMATA. And then earlier in this week, credit rating agency Fitch issued a new rating for WMATA of a AA-. So I think that's a reflection of a lot of the hard work that the board's done, and obviously Dennis and his entire team as well. With this AA- credit rating, I'm pleased to report that we've now proceeded with the refinance of the WMATA's 2009 Series A and B bonds, which we were hoping to go forward with. This financing is projected to save the participating jurisdiction about $27 million over the life of the bonds. Okay. And then one other thing on the finance side, we have held a back-to-business fair at the convention center earlier this week. We had over 800 participants, and it was very good. It was all of our staff explaining the business process, and we actually did on-site vendor registration for DBE and small businesses. You know, again, it's a focus of ours to increase that share. And then closing, obviously, is I just want to thank everyone for everything done on the safe track, the board particularly for taking on the challenge of it, elected officials, and then the media for getting the word out. But first and foremost is our customers and what they had to go through as we went through that, and our employees who worked through literally day and night through heat and cold to do that, to make this happen. And I know it puts us on a much better footing going forward. So I just want to thank everyone for their involvement with that. Concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Questions for the general manager? Oh, yeah, we have employee spotlight. Okay. We're doing that now.
Employee spotlight?
Yes, we do employee spotlight.
Wait, before I get there, do you have, anybody have any questions for Paul? Anything? I have one question for you, my random thinking here. 4th of July is coming up. How are we doing for 4th of July?
Good. We, you know, it's fairly standard. You know, we go through it every year.
We have
and, we'll knock it out. No, but I mean, obviously, it's with some of the events that we've had recently, we've been ramping up and ramping down pretty quickly,
yeah.
You know, because we've had some, obviously the Women's March, but, you know, there's been some other ones. We had the, you know, we had the Pride event, 2 weeks ago now or last week. So we had ramped up for that. So we start planning that well in advance. So we'll be prepared for that.
Yeah. Do we have any track work or anything going on in the 4th or not?
We will stop all that type of work.
All that.
Any of those types of events, we basically pull down all that service, or those types of issues, and we just focus on the service.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Similar to the inaugural.
To complete that conversation, at least there's been some press reports on the 4th of July indicating that the system will close at 11:30. Is that still correct? Is that still the plan?
Let me put out something specific on that just to address all our plans for that day.
Okay. Yeah, because of the fireworks and all that stuff.
Yeah. Let us put out you know, all the details of what
our,
because it's not only that, but, you know, as you know, there's other things that occurred during that whole period. So I think it's, let's handle it holistically.
Yeah. And the baseball game, that's in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, employee spotlight. Do you have that? You must have it.
I do have that.
I don't have
it. Yes, sir. And please recognize some of our fine transit officers, Officer Rollins, Officer Wong, Officer Woods, who could not be here today, and Officer Taylor. As Ward knows, the Metro Transit Police Department has stepped up its efforts to stop fare evasion, and we're finding that increasing patrols and police presence in our stations and along bus routes are having effects that reach further, actually, than just ensuring the riders pay their fare. Just like police officers initiating a traffic stop on a highway, you know, they never know what they're going to encounter when they approach the vehicle. The same is true when a transit officer stops an individual for fare evasion. On two recent occasions, MTPD police officers were conducting fare evasion stops that turned much more serious. On May 6, Officer Jenna Wong, who's here with us today, observed a man piggybacking behind a paying customer at the Deanwood station to avoid paying his fare. While preparing a citation for fare evasion, a routine check revealed the man was wanted in Fairfax County. While the man was being handcuffed, he admitted to carrying a firearm, and Officer Rollins safely recovered the automatic handgun. Then on May 22nd, Officer Woods and Taylor were working a plain clothes assignment in Anacostia Station and were observing passengers boarding Metro Bus. When they removed three fare evaders from the bus and did a routine check, Officer Woods revealed that one of the riders was wanted by U.S. Marshals. The suspect attempted to flee and then violently resisted arrest when Officer Woods and Taylor apprehended him. Once again, the officer safely recovered a handgun from the suspects. So today we thank Officers Wong, Rollins, Woods, and Taylor, and we appreciate the terrific effort that you do every day. If you could join me at the podium, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Anything else?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you so much. Next, yes. What's that? Yeah. Next item on the agenda is a report by the Safety Committee. Ms. Carmody.
Yes, thank you very much. The following item was referred to the board from the May 25th Safety Committee meeting. Affirmation of Safety Management System Policy Statement. Staff seeks board affirmation of the Safety Management System Policy Statement. The Safety Management System Policy Statement reflects the FTA recommendations as part of implementing an SMS, or Safety Management System. The first step in implementing the system is a policy statement from senior leadership demonstrating its commitment to safety and continuous improvement. Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Anything else?
That concludes my report.
Okay, thank you very much. Your next report is by the Finance Committee. Mr. Goldman.
The following item was referred to the Board from the June 8th Finance Committee meeting. It concerns the refinancing of Series 2009 bonds. Staff seeks approval to refinance Series 2009A, 2009B bonds, and related documents to enable Metro to lower debt service costs for participating jurisdictions. This refinancing will cover up to $220.5 million. Combined principal for the two bond series. It is projected that refinancing these bonds will save the participating jurisdictions approximately $27 million in debt service costs, as reported earlier by the general manager. This will be over the period of the remaining life of the bonds, which is 17 years. Board authorization is therefore requested for issuance of Series 2017A, paren 1 and 2, paren closed bonds, and related documents. Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Motion's been made. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
My report.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Goldman. Reports by the jurisdictions. I am very, very sad to announce today that my trusted aide, Tom Lipinski, is leaving me. He's getting married and moving to Boston and going to grad school. So, Tom, thank you for your... Thank you for your service to Metro, more than anybody knows. Thank God you were with me. I don't know what I'm going to do. Be alone, wandering the halls, lost. There's some truth to that. Other than that, all is well in the District of Columbia. So, WSTC.
No report.
No report. NVTC. Kathy, Jim's not here.
I think we should acknowledge the forum that was held in Alexandria this past week in terms of Metro updating the region. And we had a great turnout. I think it was an excellent meeting. The Alexandria and Arlington folks did a good job, and all board members were there except Mr. Cochran. But
all right.
The audience was great.
Great.
And if anyone ever wants to, you know, hear some lessons learned, if they want to have that model in their own jurisdictions, we're happy to share.
Yeah.
Excellent.
This is the second one we have done in Virginia.
Good. All right. Well, thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I could. And there is a lot of genuine interest in there to make sure that Metro does succeed. It's a very positive and constructive interaction that we've had at both meetings, actually. So.
Okay. Great. Thank you. And then finally, the federal government. Carol.
No report, but congratulations and good luck to Tom. We will miss you around here. Thanks.
Okay. Any other business to come before the board? Seeing none, the meeting's adjourned. We'll continue our executive session upstairs at lunch. Thank you very much.